This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Woohoo! It's Friday.
Dave's favorite day. Welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart, and here we are on a Friday to talk about all sorts of good things with you, your local talk. We sandwiched in between Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
That feels kind of cool, actually. Thanks for sticking with us, and you have an opportunity to get their take on things on either side of us. And here we're talking things more local, more down to our community here in Marion and Polk counties. So welcome. Let's start with something funny, shall we?
Okay.
It's Friday. Let's start with something funny. I want to talk about the school district a little bit. I'm going to talk about the foster kids a little bit. We got a couple of guests calling in, so it's going to be a great hour, folks, but... So you scroll through, I scroll through, you know, news articles on my phone, right? Whatever mm-hmm. comes up on Google, or I've got an app that does magazine articles and things like that. So you see the guy, he's a referee, a high school football, no, college football game, and he got hit by a cannon.
What?
A cannon knocked him down.
Oh, and my goodness.
No, that's not funny that he got knocked down.
No.
Is
he okay?
It's just odd. Last I heard, he did go to the hospital, non-serious injuries. He probably has a massive, you know.
So it was one of those pyrotechnic cannons?
He didn't even go into it. It's one of those, hey, this article's, you know, fits in 3 inches kind of thing. But the funny part came at the end because, so it's college football game, and I think it was the visitors, and one of the fans brought this cannon to carry on the tradition of exploding the cannon when they score kind of thing, which happens a lot in college ball,
okay.
Right? This goes off or fireworks or what have you. Well, the guy's in the end zone. He's beyond the end zone, and his team scores, and the referee's just doing his business, and he's walking, you know, across the end zone, and the cannon goes off, lays him flat, right in front of him.
Wow.
And I thought when I'm watching it, it was... You know, just the concussion of the blast, because they don't obviously put a cannonball in there.
Right.
But I guess they did have some sort of wad in there, whatever it is. So the article continues. It says they're no longer going to just let random fans bring cannons to games anymore.
Wow.
Can you imagine? Talking about gun control. I mean, is that unreasonable? The man's got Second Amendment rights, right? We're not going to let random fans bring their own cannons to the games. So unreasonable.
I thought they were banned a long time ago, actually. Didn't realize you could bring your own cannon to a game.
The guy brought a cannon to a football game, and he's on field level. At least for my California Golden Bears folks, who will be beating Arizona State tonight.
Uh-huh. Good luck with that.
We have to continue to get better because the Ducks. It'll be Cal and the Ducks next week here on KYKN, right?
Right.
So it's tonight, and if they're in Memorial Stadium in Berkeley, there's a cannon up on the hill. I mean, up, elevated
now,
on the hill.
Okay. That's okay.
Goes
yeah,
off,
that's
you know.
Fine.
Yeah.
But a spectator or a visitor bringing a cannon into a game?
Can you imagine? Here's my ticket. You know, by the way, pay no attention to this big heavy metal thing on wheels.
On wheels. Wasn't there a flag, a red warning flag that went up?
I wonder if he had to get a ticket for the cannon. I don't know.
Here's my guest, cannon.
Maybe he came on the team bus. Came with the equipment manager.
Okay. Yeah, right? Maybe he was the visiting team's cannon person.
Yeah. Right.
That would make sense.
It's not how the column wrote, but anyway, I thought that was funny. I thought I'd share it with you folks. Nice thing about, I was sharing this with Dave Bourne, actually, within the last week, is a couple years ago, the whole nation lost their sense of humor.
Right? Oh, yeah. We talked about that.
Hillary and Trump, and everybody's mad at everybody else, and families aren't speaking to one another. And you know what? Social media just dried up of any humor. Now, at least people have a sense of humor. And you get a lot more of your daily laughs, which we all need more than ever.
Oh, we definitely need those.
Okay, hey, one quick announcement. Salem-Keizer School District is looking for budget advisory members. So they're looking for two.
Oh, we've talked about that before.
Salem Reporter. So this is one of those examples where if you care about the district and you want to have some say and you want to know how your taxpayer dollars are being spent, hey, spend some time. Raise your hand, especially if you have any sort of budgeting or small business experience or some accounting background, whatever it is, or if you're just a concerned parent, you know, raise your hand. They may still be looking for volunteers to be on the budget team.
This is where you get your hands in and you have no reason to complain how they spend the money, right?
Yeah.
Because you have a kind of a say about how they do it.
And they just, it's 14 people on the group. They only meet in April and May, and they're going to review the budget that's proposed.
Nice.
There was at one time, another funny Brent story.
You're just loaded with them, aren't you?
Well, I'm a funny guy.
Okay.
The first budget advisory team, the BAT, and they put it in place, and I got volunteered to be on this first budget advisory team.
Mm-hmm.
And we were given access to certain amounts of information and wanted us to review it and blah, blah, blah. And we kept asking, yeah, but what about this? Oh, that's beyond the scope of what you do.
Really?
Okay, but it's really hard to gauge this. It's really hard to judge this without knowing what's behind the curtain.
Right.
Well, that is beyond the scope of what this committee is going to do.
I hate that when they say that.
So this goes on, and we finish our work, and we make whatever meaningless recommendations, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is an advisory team, and I think it's separate from the actual committee. And so at the end, it's like, what do you, how do you think we should change this? How can we better this process moving forward, you know, and so forth.
How about give us all the details?
You know what I wrote? I said, don't do it.
Don't do it?
No. I somehow worded it because you're using us as a cover to say, hey, we invited, you know, private sector input. So you brought all these people in, and you brought some pieces of paper in, and then you controlled the conversation. But you can tell the public that we got public input.
Uh-huh.
Like, don't do it again. Because you can't get any meaningful recommendations. You can't get any meaningful policy direction, anything. So why bother wasting everybody's time?
Oh.
I wasn't that harsh. But that was
my
message actually was very short.
You should have been.
Don't bother.
That's pretty short.
You know what, Dave? They never invited me back.
Can't imagine why, Brent.
Never got invited back.
They just deleted you from their database.
Okay. Sometimes, there's been a couple of times I've been on committees where I told them what was true
or how
I felt about things.
That's how it should be.
They never invited me back again. Okay.
Are they still doing that?
But I don't know if they do the budget advisory team. I hope they do not. This one that we're referring to is the budget committee. Like the city of Salem has a budget committee and has X number of people.
So there's no more BAT.
I don't know the answer to that question.
We should ask the mayor Tuesday.
Nobody brings it up to me. The mayor's not involved. This is a school district.
No, school district.
School district.
All right. Yeah. We could make some calls.
Santa Kaiser Budget Committee. Now someone's going to hear this and say, hey, let's put Brent on the Santa Kaiser Budget Committee because he's going to come back and tell the public exactly
what for is.
What they're hiding. What's behind the curtain.
Right.
And I think we had a different CFO at the school district at the time. But, it just seemed like it was a ploy to say, we invited public input. You know, we're so open and transparent. And those of us in the room were looking around. And actually, one of the people that was in the room later became a school board member. So
there you go.
Yeah.
They wanted to make a difference.
All right. We're a little early. Before we jump to the next topic, I do want to talk about the governor's hire to run the Child Services Division of DHS.
Sounds like she picked a good one.
It does look that way. And way to go. And yeah, I want to talk about her a little bit and what her plans are. And there's a very good quote in there. So we're going to take a break, come back and talk about that. And then we're going to hit the highlights because I've gone through with my highlighter.
Oh boy.
About the quotes that we plucked. And we talked about it, I think, on Monday, the test scores out of Salem Kaiser.
Yes.
And I promised you by the end of the week I would go over some buzzwords, and we're going to do that after the break. This is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Morn. And you folks, you're all listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
It's only because my mouth was full with JC's Pizza.
JC's Pizza, right here in Kaiser River Road.
Gotta eat it while it's warm. They make good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. All right, Dave, let's talk about our new hire. If you've been listening to Newsmakers, you know that I have been critical of the governor, how she responds to this crisis. She declares a crisis and an emergency, but, you know, I come from the private sector. We just do things faster. Something needs fixed. We get it fixed right now.
Yeah, you have to in business. Otherwise, your business goes out of business.
We don't form a commission. Two commissions in 3 years.
Yeah,
let's talk about the issue. But
talk about wasting time.
Now there's some things happening. So you got to give it her due. They did hire. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Hired 150 new people from child services, right? And now they've hired Rebecca Jones Gaston, and Rebecca Jones is going to take over the helm of the child welfare program at DHS, Department of Human Services. Now we have. Here's the leadership thing. This department, this program, has had four directors since 2016.
What?
Right. You wonder how you cannot get a rudder in the water.
Wow.
You wonder if you can't steer it right and who people should listen to and whether or not they're going to be there next month. That's a problem. There's no longevity there. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But I just want to talk about the new head of department. She's from Maryland. She worked for Maryland's Department of Human Services. And she has like over 20 years experience. And I hope she's coming to kick some butt.
Good for them. For her.
Yeah. And hopefully good for the kids of the state. So Governor Brown, as we said, declared a crisis. And so she convened a board of top level state executives and other experts. And then they hired some high priced consultants. And we were critical of $1 million in consultants.
Right.
And about a month later, she gets around to hiring some people that actually work with the kids and the family. So that's forth. All right. So Miss or Mrs. Jones-Gaston, here's the quote that I really liked, folks. Because she said that, hey, we have to do this in a timely manner. Her quote is, "And it's our responsibility to make sure we're moving forward thoughtfully, but also really intentionally paying attention to the need for change to happen in ways that don't drag on and on and on."
That's a great quote.
"Or this change of personnel having an impact on being able to have outcomes improve and blah, blah, blah." Right?
That's a good quote.
Real families, real children, lives. Yep. It's urgent. So, yes, you have to be thoughtful, but she wants to tackle it with a sense of urgency is the quote coming out of the Salem Reporter.
Like it.
7,000 kids, by the way, are in the state's care on any given day. 7,000 people. All right, let's cycle back to the leadership. We talk about that a fair bit. So, and one of my favorite things to talk about when I talk about leadership is John Kitzhaber, because what an example of a complete lack of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I told this story before, but it bears telling again. So, in the 90s, the legislature authorized a $50 million project to update Department of Motor Vehicles, ODOT.
I remember.
Their computer systems and so forth. A good friend of mine was running, actually, the consultant. He worked for the consultant and was running the operation.
Okay.
And so I'm getting this view of it. Not the stuff that's coming out of the governor's offices, not the stuff that's coming out in the newspapers. The thing had ballooned up to like $120 million. So now it's, you know, more than double.
Mm-hmm.
And it's out of control and they're not done and the end is not in sight. So everybody wants to know who's to blame and so forth. Well, my friend reports to me, well, I spend a good chunk of my day, like at least a third of my day, because I'm being audited by the Secretary of State, and I'm being audited by the governor's office, and I'm being audited by the legislature, and I'm being audited. And you know what? They're all billable hours.
Wow.
They're all billable hours. And so they're just exploding the cost by just, hey, what about this? What about this? Second piece of that. I report to an interim person at DMV who reports to an interim person at ODOT who reports to an interim person who reports to the governor.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Hard to follow.
Yeah. And does this sound familiar when you have Kate Brown now having four people in this one position taking care of the kids most vulnerable in our state? And she's had four different people in this position pretty much since she took office? Right?
Yeah.
You can't get stuff done. You have to hire the right person. You have to give them the resources you need, and you have to have some longevity and you have some consistency, because nobody would make a decision. So part of the problem with the DMV project is nobody would make a decision. They would have been better off just telling a consultant, like, build what you would want in your state and let us know when you're done. It probably would have cost less than the $50 million.
Right. It would have, actually. So they've hired this new lady, and four people have had that job in the last 4 years or 3 years?
Four directors since 2016.
Wow. Okay, that's 3 years.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so that means...
Most recent one resigned this summer.
And she resigned because of all the problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
Probably didn't have the backing of the boss, right?
Right. And is the boss, I don't know. I mean,
boss would be Kate Brown.
Yes. And we elect a governor, and it's the CEO
of the state.
Massive corporation called
Correct.
The state of Oregon.
Yeah.
So this blows my mind, and it goes down to a little bit of partisan chat. But Democrats that are listening, you have to be embarrassed if you elect this woman again. You have to be embarrassed. She's not good.
No.
She's not a good CEO. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's not doing it with the kids, with the budget, with the legislature. She's just not inspiring leadership, and she doesn't stand up and lead for our state. And I don't know. And you can't look at the failures of our educational system. You can't look at the failures of the foster kid system. You can't look at the failures of supporting natural resources and utilization and so forth. You're probably going to take credit for the economy. But you can't click that box because she has a D and feel good about it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And bringing that back up again, recall Kate Brown?
Yes, how's that doing?
All the signature pages and things need to be in so they can verify them. I think October 15th is the drop-dead date for them to turn them in. So okay. If you have sheets out there, time to send them in, get them verified. Because they have to verify the signatures and the addresses and who you are, if you have signed on that thing. So they need to get those all in ASAP.
So Rebecca Jones-Gaston is taking over Child Services Division. And, you know, stick with it. We know it's going to be a tough job. We're behind you, and we're supporting the improvement of what these kids have to go through. She listed as a challenge that things are the interconnected things that the state's working through, a lawsuit having to do with protective child services and so mm-hmm. forth, the out-of-state places, placements of kids, which they haven't brought them all home yet. They don't have them. There's still some in other states, and the need for more places in Oregon for the children, for the kids and the families to get help, which is true.
Right.
Well, that's where you need a governor that has leadership and says, we need more places, people. Who's going to help? Stand up and call a press conference.
Yeah.
You need to challenge the people. If you're going to lead, well, stand up in front and say something. All right. I've said that before. Going to nag it on them. But good luck to them. And if it's in your heart and in your capacity to want to be a foster parent, I'm sure we could hook you up with the right people. All right. Moving on. Shall we move on? We just got a few minutes. We're going to talk about these test results in Salem-Keizer. It's a mixed bag. They want you to believe it's a mixed bag because some schools have some increases. But nearly half the students in Oregon in math and English, English language arts are not meeting state standards.
What?
So, hello, folks. Again, there's an Oregon Department of Education. The person who's in charge of Oregon Department of Education reports to the governor. Hello, people. This is embarrassing in Oregon, and it's been going on too long. All right, and the scores are worst for most students of color, students with disabilities, and students identified as economically disadvantaged. So, and in Salem-Keizer, folks, right here in our community, the schools that you send your kids to, their results remain below state averages.
Oh.
Below the state averages, and the state averages below the national average. And so in many cases, some of our district scores are declining. So how would you feel about sending your kid to a school where English language arts, only half of the kids passed, 53%, 39% passed in math, okay? That's, of all the participating students. So that's statewide, 53, right? In Salem-Keizer, it's 46% in language arts, less than half, 33% in math. So, all right, you can do a lot of things with statistics, and there's some teachers on their lunch break screaming at their radio right now.
Yes, they are.
because they're trying to do good work. And I get it. You're trying to do work, and we're asking too much of you. So I'm going to turn around and flip the message. And folks, I don't think, and this is horrible to a lot of people, but I don't think the school district, the teacher, the principal, or the superintendent should be responsible for someone who does not speak English for not passing a test in English. Right? We heard from the superintendent, Christy Perry, just a few weeks ago. We had her on the show. And how many people are attending that English is their second language and so on and so forth.
Right.
And a lot of them are just dropped on the school district. If someone shows up in October and doesn't speak a word of English and registers them from the school, you know what the school does? They take them.
Yeah.
So then they have to pass a test. Maybe they're in third grade. They have to pass the test in English. They're not going to pass. But we want to judge our superintendent or our district about whether or not that they pass. It's a problem, folks. Honestly, I would like to just take out people who are people who are not challenged by a language barrier, and those shouldn't count.
No.
Let's find out how many English language speakers who are being taught in English and tested in English. Let's find out how many of them are proficient in English. But also at the same time have a concerted effort to get everybody who is not proficient in English up to speed so they can take the tests in this language. I mean, that's crazy. What if they could pass it in Spanish? All right, we got to take a break. It's the bottom of the hour. We're going to come back, and we've got a couple of guests coming up talking on the phone, and good stuff happening in Salem. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. You're listening to Local Talk Radio with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, and we always like to spotlight fun events, especially since it's Friday, Dave's favorite day, and there's something coming up this weekend, and so we've been invited Michael Misko on to tell us about his event. Michael, you with us?
I certainly am. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's nice to have you.
Friday. It's Bloody Mary Fest somewhere, right?
Bloody Mary Friday. I mean, I think that should be the new day every
right?
single day.
Right? Yeah. So what is the Bloody Mary Fest? I mean, I saw the title and I went, you know, I think I got to talk to these people.
It was my first time last year, and it was absolutely out of this world. It was so many creative Bloody Marys being made by a lot of really creative restaurants and food manufacturers. It was really fantastic, and people stood in lines. I mean, because some would be just long lines, others would be like, come over here, I've got good Bloody Mary too, you know.
Right. All right, so give us the who, what, where, when, why, and how.
Well, I'll tell you, it's this weekend, and it is it's put on for to benefit the Southwest Humane Society, and it really takes care of animals, and it's just fantastic. And let's see where it's at. I knew I should have had that before I got on.
I'm wondering, you know, people are showing up, how many Bloody Marys you can sample, right?
Oh, you can, bottomless Bloody Marys, I think that's what it is.
I know, but there's a human capacity issue.
Oh, well, you know, you just have that, you just don't think about it and down some more.
And some of those Bloody Marys you see at restaurants that like to specialize them, they're like mini salads.
Yeah,
they got the vegetables in there, and there's olives and the celery and there's carrots and there's jalapeno peppers and who knows what all going on.
Well, last year
green beans.
There was bacon.
Bacon.
There were
that's
all kinds
idea.
Of incredible Bloody Marys I'd never seen in my life, and it's in Southeast Portland, and it's at 831 Southeast Salmon Street. It's the Reed on Salmon. It's really a great place. It's fun, big open space, and has a nice big courtyard where there's fun activities out there as well.
So it's going to benefit the Southwest, Southwest Humane Society.
Right.
It sure is, which is really, let's face it, I mean, animals are tied to us, and we need to take care of them.
Right.
Yeah, the Humane Society does great work and a really important thing. In a lot of communities, it wasn't that long ago, the county didn't even have a dog control division or facility here in Marion County. It wasn't that long ago.
Oh, they built
that thing. Anyway, the Humane Society had to fill the only void of care of these animals. So, great. Well, how do they make money? We pay to get in.
You pay to get in. You pay $100,000, and you can drink one Bloody Mary.
That's one good Bloody Mary.
It's about $45, I think.
$45
might be $55, but it's pretty reasonable because you get a lot of food, you get a lot of drink. And you really get to have a good time, and I really enjoyed myself last year, even though I was you know, standing behind a booth, you know, handing out hummus, and people were going, hummus and Bloody Mary. I said, you bet. Let's put a little bit in that Bloody Mary.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. That sounds okay. Pretty good. So what? You're with Lily's Foods, right?
Exactly.
So what do you do there?
Well, I do a little anything that needs to be done. That's what I do. So what we do here is we make hummus, and we also just came out with the first keto hummus in the world. So we're very excited about that.
Wow,
keto hummus.
Okay.
Yeah, the big rage is keto, and you know, Lily, I'm a vegetarian, so you know, Lily's been making food for me for a long time, and she's always trying to come up with creative things, and she'd been making this. This cauliflower dip for me, and you know, we brought it to the office, and now we're spreading it across the U.S. now.
So are you just a supporter and a volunteer for the Humane Society? How'd you get hooked up with Bloody Mary Fest?
Yeah. Well, you know, I love the Humane Society. I really love to take care of animals, and the Bloody Mary Festival reached out to us and said, hey, we'd love to have you guys involved, and it benefits animals, and I said, I'm all for that.
That is cool. All right, so you said there's food, so there's food booths, there's all sorts of Bloody Marys. You pay about $45 to get in, and you waddle out of there. You should probably take a walk in the park before you go anywhere.
Most definitely. And the funny thing is, it's such a nice little part of town there. It's really fun to walk around and see what else is going on. You know, have your Bloody Marys and spend an hour walking around and then, you know, and safely drive home.
So the samples we're getting, as I haven't been to your event before, the samples you're getting, they're not like in that big, tall restaurant glass, right?
No, they're little ones, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you'll get a pretty decent glass. I mean, you've really got to pick and choose, you know, how many you want to have, because I mean, you know, they're decent sized drinks. They're not those little taster cups. You're getting a decent sized glass. It's not that giant, you know, kegger of like they give you at some of these restaurants where it's like I need handles to hold onto that.
Right.
All right, folks. Bloody Mary Fest. Bloody Mary Festival. What do you call it? Bloody Mary Fest. I got to get it right.
It's the Bloody Mary Fest.
All right. Got it right the first time. And if people can find it, if they Google it online.
Perfect. You want me to give the address again?
831 Southeast Salmon Street at Reed on Salmon. You can attend this thing. It's Sunday, or is it Sunday and Saturday?
It's just Saturday, or Sunday. Just Sunday, right?
Yeah, it's Sunday. There are two sessions. It's, 10:30 to 1:30, and then a three to 6.
All right, so one is considered brunch, and the other one is just day drinking.
Exactly, right? Which is, right. I think, you know, well, there's only acceptable.
I see here online that there's only tickets available for session two, so session one is sold out.
Nice.
Yeah, and tickets are $55 plus a $5.05 fee.
Makes perfect
for
sense
processing,
to me.
Right?
That is weird.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, thanks for joining us, Michael. We appreciate it. Good luck with your endeavors, and thank you for what you're doing for the Humane Society. I hope they've been a lot of bucks to help a lot of animals.
I hope they do, too. Everybody go out and adopt an animal.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Michael Sisko.
All right, folks, like we always used to spotlight, and we're only a week away from hearing from Mary Louise Van Atta again about what's going to happen in October in the community and things that you can do. So we like to spotlight that for you. We don't want you to be bored.
No.
So Humane Society, hey, folks, you know, some of those pure breeds, I have a pure breed dog right now, but our previous two dogs had been Humane Society adoptions, mixed breeds. Some of those mixed breeds are the best dogs you're ever going to have, because you're going to blend some of the best characteristics of different breeds, and they don't have as many some of the inherent health problems that some of the mills have created by irresponsible breeding of, you know, so.
Sometimes you just never know.
Sure, purebreds can have issues, mm-hmm. and you know it, and it's going to be expensive, and so go to the Humane Society and find yourself a nice mutt or a cat or something to adopt.
Thanks to Michael Miskew, CEO of Lily's Foods, for stepping up and helping out, too.
Awesome. Hey, we got a few minutes before we're going to talk to Dan from Advantage Heating again about, I think you're going to be surprised. I mean, he was here a few weeks ago saying that every time they sold a system that they were going to give money to first responders.
Right.
So we're going to talk to him before the hour is up.
A big event that they have Saturday. It's
big event Saturday. Tomorrow. Big ticket event.
Tomorrow.
In terms of, yeah, that's just tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right. So one more thing in the news before we do go to break. Dave, you don't strike me as someone who vapes.
New.
So vaping's been in the news. You hear about it nationally. You hear about it locally. We've had two deaths now in Oregon. And so that's spurring calls for having some changes and some regulations and some bans and further restricting this. Boy, this
makes me wonder, though. Vaping's been around for a while, and then all of a sudden we're having some deaths. Makes me wonder if they're misusing the vaping.
Misusing?
Misusing. Trying to smoke something else in the vape when it's not supposed to be there.
Yeah, because you can put just about anything in it. And if you're not familiar with the technology, folks, you're basically using... Hey, remember your cigarette lighters and your cars? Mm-hmm. When they get really hot. You know, that kind of technology where it burns whatever's in the chamber.
Right.
And that can be a device to get nicotine delivered in a vapor instead of a smoke. So there was e-cigarettes before there was vaping, or they're concurrent, but vaping became a thing. Well, I'm going to burn this fluid, maybe an oil that's flavored or something like that.
Right.
But it's going to be a vapor and not smoke, so therefore it's not that unhealthy for me, but mm-hmm. It's all chemicals that you're deeply inhaling into your lungs. So here's the problem, and you know, if you're right of center, you don't love regulation.
Right. Right?
You don't like over-regulation. But here's a product that's affecting health that has almost no regulations. You know, you can't sell it if you're 18 or under, if you're under 18, that kind of thing. But what goes in them, quality control, where they come from, mm-hmm. all those things, because it could be contaminated product. You could be buying something and you don't know what's in it because it is not regulated by the FDA. It's not regulated by ATF or anything else. So second lung disease death, organ death, and having to do with vaping. One more thing having to do with that. So Juul, it's J-U-U-L, big company. Probably, I think they're the largest e-cigarette company. They just replaced their CEO, and so he got ousted, and they promoted somebody else.
Because of this?
No. Well, I don't know why. They didn't really say. Mm-hmm. It was a change. They brought in, you know, a tobacco industry person, and Juul, folks, it's owned at least a third, 35% by the parent company for Philip Morris.
Mm.
So it is a tobacco industry, you know, owned company primarily, and it is a nicotine delivery device.
Right.
And so a couple of weeks ago, the CEO of Juul had a press conference and says, don't use our product. Don't buy the product unless you're already addicted to nicotine. He was throwing it out there because they're getting all this criticism because of the health scares, lung diseases, and deaths. He said, if you're not addicted if you're not addicted to nicotine, you're not our target customer.
Hmm.
Because they bill themselves as a way to more safely get away from cigarettes.
Right.
Right? It's not a way to get nicotine if you're not already addicted. So he's like, don't buy our products. We don't want you to buy our products. If you're a teenager, we don't want you to buy our products if you're not already addicted to nicotine. Wow.
Laying it out there.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it. It should be one of those things in corporate America that even the people that think big corporations is a cuss word and the root of all evil should appreciate. Well, guess what? He's not CEO anymore. I wonder where he went.
Mm-hmm.
He is not CEO anymore. Anyway, Juul, a lot of shakedown here, and it's not the end of it. We're going to see, and I'm sure we'll be talking about regulations on this vaping in Oregon and what the vape shops can do, because that's Oregon small business, just like the dispensaries of cannabis are small business. So now what are you going to do to the mom and pops? Are you going to regulate them out of business, or in an attempt to make it safer for people to utilize? All right, that's enough of that. We do want to talk to Dan. We're going to take a last break here before we finish up your lunch hour here on Friday. Newsmakers, 1430 KYKN Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. Brent DeHart here with Dave Morin, who spent the break talking smack about the Ducks, who will be broadcast
right
here. They do have a bye this week, so no broadcast here.
So they'll
here.
Be healthy next week.
And next week when they try to take on the undefeated California Golden Bears. And he's already ready to throw his wallet down.
Squash them is what they're going to do.
He threw his wallet down on the counter.
I did.
I'm in.
No money in it, but yeah. I'm in.
Anyway, you'll be able to hear that on KYKN, of course. College football is great fun here in the Willamette Valley. Hey, joining us in the studio, rejoining us.
Yeah.
Been here before a couple of times. Dan Summers of Advantage Heating and Cooling. And we were talking probably a month ago about your effort to raise some money for first responders in Salem and Kaiser. So now this thing is coming to an end. And I got to tell you, Dan, first of all, welcome.
Thank you.
And thanks for doing this initiative. It's, I was surprised at the money.
Yeah, I the Salem and Kaiser really came together and rallied together, came behind us. And for every system we sold, we put some money aside. And what's really exciting is that the manufacturer that we represent matched that goal. Or not the goal, the amount of money that came in. And our goal was pretty hefty, and we achieved that and went over, above and beyond. So we are going to be presenting a check for $28,550 this Saturday to the first responder. So we are so excited for that. But, you know, it's the community at Salem and Kaiser community that helped us do this and help us raise this money. And we're going to have an event. Am I allowed to talk about that right now, guys?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. All right. I don't want to go too far
in
advance.
We'll go back in a minute. I want to know about the event tomorrow, though.
We're going to have an event at our office, and that's 1360 Tandem Avenue Northeast in Salem. You go down the parkway, and we're behind all those auto dealerships.
Okay.
And you just go back behind them, and you'll find us. Plus, GPS will get you there.
Mm-hmm.
But we are going to have tacos, and we're going to have cinnamon rolls, and we're going to have the chief, some of the fire chiefs speak, and the police chiefs, they're going to talk, and they're going to tell us what this money is going to go for and the good causes that they have already allocated and figured out for this. And it's pretty exciting. We've done some interviews with the Salem fire chief, Chief Niblock, and Chief Cowan of Kaiser. In our office, and they have some great things that they're doing with this money. I'm really excited that, again, I just get to present the check. It came from the community, and we want to thank the community.
Yeah,
that's from 11 to 1 tomorrow.
11 to 1 tomorrow at Advantage Heating and Cooling on Northeast Tandem.
Tandem.
So fire trucks going to be there?
Yeah, there's
firemen going to be there.
Yes.
All right. So my wife
and the
will
police
be there.
And police cars, and we're going to have a blast.
She thinks firemen are like the sexiest thing on the planet, next to Tom Brady. So
there's Tom Brady, there's firemen, and then there's radio guys.
Yeah, then there's me. Yeah,
and then there's heating and cooling guys.
There you go.
Those guys, you guys are like first responders. It's pretty amazing that you guys can come out and fix somebody in a situation where they're either baking or they're freezing.
Well, sometimes, you know, it's kind of funny because we say when people call us, their hair's on fire, we got to go put it out and take care of it. Because people that call us have a need and we want to get out there.
You answered, we're talking to Dan Summers of Advantage Heating and Cooling, right?
Yeah.
And air conditioning. Mm-hmm. And as people bought units, and what period of time did you block this out for those donations?
So it was about 2.5 months.
2.5 months, and you guys raised $28,000.
Yeah.
You know, I like how he credits the community for going ahead and sacrificing by buying a new air conditioning unit. They went to sacrifice, bought a new heating or a heat pump or something like that, but they got a new system, and part of the money they paid for went towards this.
That is correct.
And it got matched by the manufacturer, which is also pretty awesome.
That's right.
That's a pretty amazing manufacturer.
Well, you know, we in passing just told them what we were doing. We were really excited about it, and they said, boy, this is something we want to get on board with.
Nice.
And it's Daikin equipment. Am I allowed to say that?
Sure.
I said it. So there we go.
Plug it. Yeah.
And they're the largest manufacturer in the world. Most people haven't heard of Daikin, but they are the largest manufacturer in the world, and they're made right here in the United States.
Wow.
They have a huge facility in Texas, the third largest manufacturing facility in the United States.
Really? Holy cow! I had no idea.
Yeah.
That is cool. All right.
I'm sure we're going to hear more about them now.
You partially. Answer my question, but let's get into how is the money spent and where does it go? You know, first responders is kind of a broad term, and you mentioned Chief Niblock will be there, and How did they get? Did they get to arm wrestle for the money? Did you guys get to divide it up for them?
So what we're doing is we are taking the $28,000, and each one gets a piece of that, and it's just divided into four, and so everybody gets $7,000 whatever dollars. So
that can buy a lot of stuff, though.
And that's what they said. They're they've told us some things that they're going to do. I don't know if I want to do a spoiler alert.
Maybe you want to steal their thunder, but just a press release for next week. But the so the fire departments of Salem and Kaiser, police department of Salem and Kaiser,
yeah,
right?
Correct.
That is pretty awesome.
That is correct.
All right. Can I ask, I might have asked you this before, but where did this idea come from?
Well, you know, we have a lot of military, and actually one of the guys that works with us, he's a fire chief, and he was a fire chief in Gaston, and you know, we just really want to honor anyone who's in any service at all. And my general manager Craig and everybody just kind of started talking about this, and we really wanted to do that. We wanted to honor the first responders. So that's kind of how it got born. It was just a table idea, and I said, hey, let's try this, and it took off. So it was a collective effort. It wasn't any one
Sometimes the
person.
Best ideas are when you're just sitting around talking, and this, you know, what would be great to do is this. And then somebody else is like, I know how we can do that.
Yeah, why don't we go ahead and do it? Yeah.
Why don't we just go ahead and do it?
Yeah.
There's always people that talk about, hey, we should, or wouldn't it be cool to? And then there's people who said, we're going to.
Yeah.
And execute it. So we want to thank you for that, Dan.
Well, this has been awesome, and again, I've been saying it's been a wild ride. Salem and Kaiser have rallied behind us, and we're really excited to be able to do this.
Well, hey, I look forward to your event tomorrow. That's
so
for sure.
We're talking to Dan Summers, say Advantage Heating and Air Conditioning. So, can I ask you a couple of product questions?
Sure.
Industry questions.
Yeah.
So we have just about a minute here, so might as well learn something. So those programmable thermostats. Are they all the same? Is there some out there that's complete junk? Should we never buy one from Home Depot or Lowe's? Or what's the one?
So here's the reality. You need one that's going to fit your needs, and that's really hard for me to tell you.
Come on.
Good answer, Dan. Good answer, Dan.
What you want to do is you want to get Wi-Fi thermostats. The ones at Home Depot are not as good as the ones that they actually sell to the heating companies. Uh-huh. They don't come with the same warranties. However, you can still get the ones at Home Depot and still be satisfied, but I would recommend going to Advantage Heating. And
I have a Wi-Fi one.
Yeah,
if you go to Advantage Heating, and they're going to steal you straight. All right, we're going to have to go. Dan Summers tomorrow on Tandem Avenue. You want to go to Advantage Heating and Air Conditioning and watch the fire trucks, bring the kids down, get the presentation, get some food, cinnamon rolls, and tacos.
Yes, sir.
And celebrate this gift to the public safety.
Great job, Dan.
Thanks for being with us, folks. Have a great weekend. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Morn for KYKN 1430.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.